Okay. So we're going to start looking at patience. And so probably won't take as long as humility. I don't know why.
Because he doesn't have the patience.
So let's kind of start out where we did last time. So what is patience, or what does it mean to be patient? So when you think, you say somebody's, oh man, they're so patient, or you're thinking about patience, what does that mean? What does it look like?
This week, suffering.
What'd you say?
I said this week is like one another, like doing the same thing.
Okay, what does that mean?
Put in the passy back in his mouth while he cries for an hour. Go back.
Okay.
And you continue with the same temperament.
Okay.
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 And not get frustrated.
I think that's a good definition of long suffering. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's able to accept or tolerate delay in problems or
something. Okay, very good. Thank you, Oxford Dictionary. So, which is actually where that comes from. Go ahead.
It's the ability to wait with a good attitude.
Okay. It's good. Anything else? So, and just to be clear, and we're going to see, we'll see this in Scripture, because it's easy to... Patience is not the same as waiting, right? So you can wait, and as y'all have alluded to, have a horrible attitude, right? And so that's not the same. And in fact, so what David says in Psalm 40 is he said, I patiently wait, right? And so we see these things. Patience is not the same as being, it's not just slowing down and taking it easy, right? So Peter tells us, that God is not slow, as we would consider that he is patient towards us. Patience is not the same as just, it's not just enduring something, right? Oh, okay, because we can grit our teeth and hate every moment of it, and that is not patience. We'll see this again as well. In 2 Corinthians, it says, which is effective in the patient enduring. So there's a way to endure that is glorifying to God, but there's also ways that it can be detrimental to the glory of God or rob the glory of God. And so it's not that simple. And we'll come back to Psalm 40 because I think that's a great psalm. But as he alluded to, the dictionaries even get this right. So Oxford Dictionary, capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Merriam-Webster Dictionary, bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint, is what they say. But it's interesting, when you look in Scripture, there's actually, in the Old Testament, the word patience or long-suffering by itself, it's used rarely. There's like three instances in the Old Testament where it's used. It still has the same meaning, but in the New Testament, as what it's used in the New Testament, but in the New Testament, There's two basic words that are used throughout the New Testament for patience. The first is makrothumia, and so it comes from the root word makros, which means long, and thumos, which means passion, anger, or temper. And so it literally means long passion or long temper, and it's sometimes translated as long suffering. So that's where the term long suffering comes from. A person with macrothumia can burn, quote unquote, burn for a long time, which means they can endure for a while without giving in to anger. It's the opposite of short-tempered. So if we think of somebody that's short-tempered, if they're patient, it's the exact opposite. And generally this word, so when you see these two words in the New Testament, generally this word is in reference to or related to people. So it's our interaction with each other. So when we start looking at some of these scriptures, when we start seeing Paul talk about being patient, you know, in the body, so with patience and instruction, he's talking about this word, that this is how we're going to be with others. The other word is hupomeno, and it comes from the root word hupo, which means under, and meno, which means remain or endure. So it literally means to stay under, and is sometimes translated as endurance, steadfast, or perseverance. So, and we're going to see this in one of the passages here in a minute. It's the quality of enduring or remaining under challenges and difficult circumstances. So Vine's Dictionary gives the meaning as to bear up courageously under suffering. And so this word, unlike the other one, dealing with people, this one often deals with circumstances, right, in our lives and things that come into our lives. So speaking of, and so you know, as we talk about how do we get patience or how do we become patient, because that is the simple idea of patience. How do we get that? Who are we to be patient with? The first thing is, just to point out, is it's not optional, right? So patience in our lives is not optional. It's one, it's commanded, but then two, it's a fruit of the Spirit. And so, and I say it, I really want to emphasize that it's not optional, because I do think in our lives, and we don't do it consciously necessarily, but we do decide sometimes when certain things are and are not required. We can justify at times why we do not need to be patient, right? I do it almost every day in the car. And I mean, seriously, as I was studying this, I was just like, oh my Lord. Because I don't, I mean, I know she always reminds me while I'm in the car, but I just don't think of it as
nagging.
I just don't think of it as being patient, right? I don't think of that as a character trait. I think of it as, I dismiss it. Well, this is just natural. This is what, I don't know. I don't even know what I really think, but it's very easy for me to dismiss that in the car and just be like, ah, you know, even if the Holy Spirit's trying to prick my heart. And like sometimes when I panic and I think, oh, are they going to church? You know, and, you know, like I've laid on the horn and then I'm like, dude, don't turn into the church, you know. So like the story, who was it? Is it Noah that tells that story about they pull into church and the lady that's just railed them, you know, she pulls into the choir spot and, you know, she's singing in the choir and everything. But it's not optional. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So it is to be born in our lives. It is to come forth from our lives. It has to. And we'll start to look at these scriptures, but I just want to make that clear. If our desire is to be made into the image of Christ, this is something that we don't just need to allow it. We need to seek it. We need to understand it. We need to ask the Lord for it. So, number one, patience is from God. He is patient, right? And so, there's it's not something that's innate in us, I should say it that way, and that's just going to become better over time. We don't possess it. It's not part of us. 1 Corinthians 13, right? How do we know this? How do we know this is from God? How do we know? 1 Corinthians 13, what does it say?
Love is patient.
Love is patient. Yes. And then in this, and that word patient there, love is patient, that's the macrothumia word. So that's the long-suffering patience. But then what's really cool is, later in 1 Corinthians 13, do you remember what it says? Love hopes all things. Love
believes all things.
Love
endures
all things, right? That endure word, that's that hupomeno word. So that's the one that's dealing with the suffering, that we're going to sit, we're going to wait, and we're going to allow whatever it is that's going on in our lives, we're going to allow that to work. So, when we see 1 Corinthians 13 and it says love is patient and love endures all things, well, we know, because Scripture tells us, that God is love, right? This all originates out of Him. It all comes from Him. And then, of course, Galatians 5:22, which we already alluded to, the fruit of the Spirit is
love.
Bang. And so we'll start with love, right? So the fruit of the Spirit is love. And if you've ever heard Lee, you know, Lee's take on that is that all the rest of that fruit, it's really based out of love, right? That love, and you really see that in Scripture. And I think when you see it this way, you see that patience, just like in 1 Corinthians 13, it's born out of that love. So yes, patience is later listed as part of the fruit of the Spirit, but it's born out of love, which comes from God. Where else do we see this? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you. This is who He is, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Now, I'm just going to reel through these and read through them real fast. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? And some of these are going to come back to us as we look at some things later. Romans 9:22. What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. 1 Timothy 1:16, yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. That's obviously Paul speaking. 1 Peter 3:20, who were once disobedient, talking about us, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of... he's actually speaking to the Israelites here, or those before us. When the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. And in that in case of long suffering, that was for at least 50 years, right? So, and it just depends on how you look at the birth of the sons and so forth as to how long it actually took the ark to be built. But it was a long time. And of course, we know from the rest of Scripture that we've seen God, when you watch how he deals with Israel, sometimes it's hundreds of years as he just waits and waits, and he's longing. And in the midst of all that, he's saying things like he does in Isaiah 30, which, I long to have repentance on you, to have mercy on you, that this is his heart. And so it is from God, it is only in him, and it's the only way it'll be birthed through us is by a fruit, by something that he's working out in us. We do have a part in it. So there is a part on our part, and that is we have to let that work occur. And so let's look at these passages. These are the ones I want us to turn to. And we've actually seen some of these because these were tied to humility as well. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 1. And you're going to see, we'll see some things that are repeated in here in these different passages. And so you see a theme from Paul about these things. So if this is going to be worked out in our lives, how does it occur? How is patience going to be produced in our lives? How do we attain patience? So in Ephesians 4:1, he says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." So that's the first thing is, guys, we've been called, right? And so it's his calling. It's his beginning. He started it. And so as everything in our faith, as everything in this walk, it is by faith. We can say, God, you called me to this. And so I'm going to begin to walk in this calling. I'm going to begin to walk in what you've done, trusting that you're going to do the rest of this. So what he said in verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. And we see that coming back again, right? That love is going to be the root of this. If we want patience to be worked out of our lives, then start by asking God, Lord, put this love in me. Let me know. And guys, that's for sure. If you think you can work up patience just by some good discipline, and maybe you could have the appearance of patience just by some good discipline, right? You know, you get your mantra, you know, when you're getting frustrated, okay, whatever. And, you kind of mumble to yourself and get past it, get through it. But
eventually you will just blow
fail.
Up.
But if love is in us, if the love of God is in us, and we see beyond all that what just our eyes see, and we see how he sees, and man, it changes everything. So showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so in this passage, the thing I want us to see is a calling, right? It's a calling, and we're called by God. And so we can trust him to do this in us, but we do need to be conscious of it, right? We're very conscious here. When he says walk in a manner, that's a conscious action on our part. Lord, when I get up, when I'm standing in the line at the grocery store and the chick can't figure out how to use the credit card thingy, you know, I get to choose to walk in my calling, right? And to be patient. Now, I know he's speaking of the church here, but it should apply everywhere. Colossians 1:9. So Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. And we're reading more than specific, what's specific to patience, but I think it's good to have the context of what Paul's saying in each of these. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So, look, pray about it. So Paul's saying, we're praying for this to be done in you. We're praying for these things to be worked in you. And so we absolutely pray about it, and we should be praying for one another. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So there it is again. We're walking in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul adds to this one, he says in verse 11, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. So He's going to strengthen us. He's going to do this. He's going to work this. Again, not because we just, you know, we sit around and it just, boom, it happens. But because we're walking in a manner worthy, we say, God, I want to walk like this. I want to walk worthy. And so He now starts giving us His strength, strengthen us with all His power for the attaining, is what He says. Strengthen with all power for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. It is something to be attained. It can be attained. And so it is something that we work out, that we walk in, not that we make it happen, but we're pursuing it in our walk with Him. Joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So you just see all of the work of God in there, that His strength, His qualification, His calling, He's doing it so that we can attain steadfastness and patience. Go a little bit further, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. He says, chapter 3, verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self. So here's another part of us, right? Because elsewhere, Paul, in Romans, he tells us, lay aside the old man, right? Lay that aside. So we lay aside our old self with its evil practices. And that laying aside, look, that's not, again, that's not through rituals. It's through listening to the Holy Spirit, right? And by faith, when you feel that old man rising up, oh, that's been crucified. I lay that aside. In Christ, you have buried that man. He no longer lives. So we reckon ourselves dead to sin, right? And so it's not that you're again, doing disciplines to make this happen. You're just walking in the light as He is in the light. And have put on the new self who is being renewed. So that's the second part. Put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew. So skip to verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God. So you see that calling before. Now we see chosen. So we've been chosen. God's doing this. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. Just like you laid aside the old self and you put on the new self. Now we're putting on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another. And now you can even understand more of what Paul is saying when he talks about bearing with one another. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And so when you hear this now, when I read this again, after just looking at what God means by patience, let me finish. Verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. But when I read this again now and I see this, you know, when you read things like bearing with one another, has a complaint against anyone, it basically means let the complaint go. It's gone, right? It's over. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, and so just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And so the perfect work of patience is going to bring us to that place where we can lay aside those complaints. We can bear with one another. We'll talk more about what that looks like. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. This is where we just see it as a command, right? We've seen it in these others, but I like the way Paul says it here, talking to Timothy. He says, in the body there, he says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. And so one of the things I like about this passage is it may be, it's kind of like the humility thing, right? So if you don't have the right view of humility, you may think that, well, that means I don't bother with what's right and wrong anymore. I'm not going to require what's right in my home, you know, whatever. I'm just weak now. I just get walked on. I get trampled on. The same thing here. I love that this is all in context of reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. So it doesn't mean we stop doing that. That patience doesn't mean that your kids are not going to face the consequences of their actions. But how you deal with that, how you walk into that situation should be totally different, right? And then you don't have to turn here, but 1 Thessalonians 5:14, again, Paul instructing us, he says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." And so this is just Paul, all throughout the New Testament, we see this patience. And I find it interesting that it doesn't show up in the Old Testament, but it shows up so much in the New Testament. Why do you think that is? Why do you think patience isn't talked about so much in the New Testament, but it is everywhere in the New Testament?
Because now we're a body of Christ. Now we're the body of Christ, and we're together all
Amen.
The time.
God, exactly. God is, in the Old Testament, it was just a bunch of people that were having to figure it out to get to God, right? He had laid down the law, and yeah, there was a congregation, but it was not a body. Christ had not knit them together. It was impossible. The Holy Spirit was not given. It couldn't be done.
Yeah.
And so in the New Testament, now God has said, I want to manifest my glory to this world through this body. Not yours, not yours alone, this body. This is how people are going to see what I've really done in this world, because he knows us. And boy, it is a miracle. And so now patience has to be a constant reminder to us, because we are knit together. We are in here together, and we're not alike. And we don't always like each other. And some of us have, our faith is up here, and some of us, our faith is down here. And some of us are foolish, and some of us are wise, and different things. And so we are going to be frustrated. We're going to be, I don't even want to deal with that. Whatever the case may be. And God is constantly reminding us, patience, patience. And so there's a distinction now, and that's why we need it so much. So what does patience look like, right? Yeah, go ahead.
Can I share something real
please?
I'm convicted because so many times the people that you deal with, for example, fireplace, children, I'm patient with them because I know that's what they need.
Yeah.
I'm discipling some people. I'm patient with them because I know that's what they need. And because I see Christ deal with his disciples patiently. He's dealing with them. And because sometimes you want to wring their neck, but you're just like, you know, that was really dumb, but I'm going to give grace. And I'll be patient with you. And I'm seeing that. But then when I see it in my marriage, I'm like, I'm not as patient.
Yeah. Amen.
And when I look at Christ, I'm like, he's got it together.
Amen.
I don't. And so I'm just like, hearing all this is making me think about just looking at him and being like, Lord, I want to abide in you. I want to be with you because I know that you're the one who gives me this. And it's like, that's my peace, because I'm like, I can't. I'm so impatient with in my marriage, but I'm so patient outside of it. It just kills me. Yeah. And I'm like, I'd rather be mean to everybody. And so, you know? And
one of my grandmothers, she literally says, I'm going to be mean to everyone else if I have to, but I want to be nice to the people I live with. So not that you need to be mean to people.
They're the ones you're the meanest to.
Yeah.
Right. The ones you live with and the ones you love the best.
Yeah.
I guess the main thing I was trying to say is just being aware of the with the group I'm with. You know, because like when I'm with fireplace kids, I'm not going to be impatient. They're four years old to 11 years old. I know their needs.
Yep.
But it's like so easily. And Christ knew our needs. He knows our needs. And it's like he needed to be patient
Amen.
With those disciples.
Amen. It's a good point. I think a lot of times expectation influences our ability to have patience, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, we expect more of them, and therefore, patience is out the window, right? Yeah. You know better, right? How many times have we heard that? Mm-hmm. You know better. And so patience, that's why now I've given myself an excuse to lose my patience, to not have long suffering, to not, well, you know better. Man, if I, my kids, oh my goodness, if they haven't heard that 1,000 times.
Yeah, I think patience looks differently too. And I think Jesus like portrays that really nicely in John. Like when he talks to the, when he preaches to the woman of the well, like he's significantly patient with her. But then when he preaches to Nicodemus, it's a different looking type of patience. Because he, like with Nicodemus, he's a man of the law. He should know all this stuff, you know what I mean? So he keeps asking him like these like same questions, you know what I mean? Yeah. And he, but he's very direct. Like with, as for with the woman of the well, he seems like he's more kind and loving, you know what I mean? Less judgmental towards her.
Yeah.
So patience isn't that a fruit of the Spirit? So the fruit of the Spirit being worked out by the Spirit, whereas in the law they had the works. So patience isn't just a work. It has to be working in and out of you. Amen. By the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to put on patience, which is put it on Christ.
Amen.
So it's not something we could just do an exercise. We're supposed to exercise with the gift the Lord gives us. But there's a difference between, like you were pointing out, the law, the Old Testament versus New Testament, works, and that they never could really establish that. And then the coming of Christ, and then by Him and by the work of the Holy Spirit, we have been engrafted into that and have Him to work that out of us.
Amen.
Otherwise, once again, it could be like our works or what we do or don't do. And we may have it, and the Lord's like, okay, I'm going to draw you further in, and I'm going to let you know more of me. So that's, now you're going to mess up in this area.
Yeah.
And, but I've been so good in this area. Yeah. Well, yeah, there's more.
So. Yeah.
That's really good.
Or He
good,
puts
Chris.
People in your life, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. And yeah. He is attracted. And we'll just close there today. I know we got a few minutes, but I want to wait to get in the second part. But yeah, when we talk about how is this produced in our life, it is a work of the Spirit. And so I don't want to leave us thinking, okay, yeah, we just sit back and we go, all right, I'm not feeling it. You know, I'm not feeling patience. Dang it. You know, where are you, Lord? It's this, you know, as 1 John says, it's this continual walking in the light, right? So it's when I'm in my car, and I was thinking about this, I really was, and I was like, Lord, do this in me, and God, don't let me be that stubborn guy I always am that just casts it aside. Holy Spirit, when I'm in that car, and I'm like, get out of the way, you know? I talk to people all the time, even though they can't
He's
hear me.
He's not joking.
Idiot is one of my favorite words in the car. So, and I'm not talking about myself.
When Mia came out with Knucklehead at 2 years old, then you knew she'd been riding with him.
So, but the Holy Spirit, if we are actively desiring this to come about in our lives, the Holy Spirit will go, hey, and now there's my chance, right? There's my chance to allow this fruit to grow. The Holy Spirit has pricked my heart. Now I get to go, yes, Lord, do this in me. And he'll begin to do that. And then he'll do it again, and he'll do it again, and he'll do it again. And it's that walking in light. Walking in light doesn't mean we're perfect. In fact, walking in the light does what, right? If you walk in the light, it's going to expose everything, right? But that's why that is followed up with an awesome promise. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What an awesome promise. So in this patience, in this working out by the Spirit of God in us, that's where it comes in, is we agree, I'm going to walk in the light. I agree, I want you to show me these things. I agree, when I'm in the store, when I'm talking to my kids, when I'm working with my wife or my husband or at work, or do this in me. And he does it, and we say, yeah, you're right. Amen. You're right. That's it. And he begins to work it. He begins to produce it. He begins to grow it. And yeah, it we'll find victory, and we'll find one day, dude, I'm not getting upset in the car. I was like, God, man, if I get to that place. Because I was thinking, well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, because there's something about this that the Lord just really pressed upon me. But we will do that. And then, yep, something else is going to come along, and you're going to go, oh, man, I thought, oh, he's just doing it some more. So, but for this week, let's walk away. Two things. One, think about the difference in those two words, right? And what that means. So one is that long suffering with others, and the other is that patience, which, like David said in Psalm 40, I patiently wait on the Lord. And we're going to see what the context of what David, when he says that, it's pretty amazing what's happening in his life. but he patiently waiting on the Lord, even though there's trouble and there's trials. And then two, as we walk in next week, think about, you guys started to allude to it already, which is, what does it look like? Same thing we did last time. What does it look like in our home, in our work, in the church? And then as David was kind of starting to point out, think about, what did this look like in the life of Christ? Think of moments and times in the life of Christ where we can say, wow, that's what patience looks like. That's what this is. Because Paul, we don't really get to see it. We don't see the narrative of Paul's life. So we don't just, you can get a kind of general idea of patience as he deals with the church.
When but, he didn't have patience.
Yeah. But with Jesus, we get to see very real examples. So think about those things. Let's bring it back next week and just let the Lord finish working this in us. So, Father, we thank you for this morning, God. And Lord, I do want this in my life. We want this, Lord, because there is an image of Christ to be seen and known by all around us, God. And I pray that it would begin in our homes, that our wives, our husbands, our children, they would see it. They would know, this is who my Father in heaven really is. This is what he looks like. This is how he deals with me. And then God, that those in this church would see it. They would feel it. They would know that Christ is amongst them, that it's a place where there will be patience given and utilized. And then God, in our workplaces and in this world, that we would stand out, that we would be seen. So God, especially in this day and age, Lord, where everything is just so self-gratifying and instantaneous, and we flare up at the drop of a hat, that God, we would exhibit the patience of the Holy Spirit in all that we do. Go with us now into this service, Lord. We just desire to have you work amongst us, God. We desire to have the gifts poured out, Lord. And do, Lord, give us this patience, Lord. Give us humility as we work with one another, serve one another in this service, God. Amen.